Thanks for hanging out with us on this Sunday afternoon. I'm Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Dave Eigenberg is here. He plays Herman in Chicago Fire. The Chicago Fire cast is having a fundraiser along with Chicago PD.
And what's the name of the place? Ping Pong?
Ping Pong. Right next to the House of
Watch
Blues.
Watch how you're saying that.
Ping Pong.
Right next to, yeah,
I love that.
It's
we're
called
all
Pong.
Looking, I love,
Ping or Pong.
I love that we turn around and we look at Curtis.
Yeah, exactly.
To
Curtis,
look up.
Did he cross the line?
Let's talk Super Bowl.
All right, let's talk it.
You know, watching the Super Bowl, you drink beer. When do you go to the bathroom? Because you want to stick around during the commercial time.
Hey, where's some...
Put
on Depends.
Oh,
never
it.
Leave. Never leave the couch.
Joining us is the editor-in-chief of the Clio Awards, which are the Academy Awards for Advertising.
There you go.
He's going to talk Super Bowl commercials. It is Tim Nudd. Tim, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Pete. Thanks for having me on.
How many advertisers, how many commercials do we see, actual commercials, during the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, that depends. It can be anywhere from sort of 50 to 65 or so. Depends on, you know, how many brands are buying kind of 60-second blocks. It varies from year to year. I think if it was all 30-second spots, I think he could have as many as maybe 75 or so. But usually it's around 60, 65, something like that.
Do these guys give any spots away because it's such a high visual, you know, thing for people to see? And they go, well, let's put a really good charity up here and give away 30 seconds so American can get an eye on something really great.
You know, that would be nice. That doesn't happen at all, of course. Because,
I was thinking there's no you know. Way that would ever. Well, Tim, how much is a 60-second commercial this year?
So this year it's $5.6 million. Which, you know, you'd have to say is just stupid money. I don't know if it's a record. It's hovered around there for a while. I think one or two years it went down, but trajectory's been up, sure.
That's for 30 seconds?
Huge investment. $5.5 million for 30 seconds.
30 seconds for $5.5 million. One run during the Super Bowl. That's crazy.
Exactly, yeah. And a lot of folks are buying 60-second spots, so... You know, they get a little bit of a discount, I think, but you're still talking up, you know, up around $10 million or so.
What's it on this year? Is it on
for
Fox?
60 seconds.
It's on Fox.
It's on Fox this
yeah,
year?
Yeah, it's on Fox.
Wow.
Tim, some of the players that we see year after year, Budweiser is in this year. Give me some of the commercials that we're going to see.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, you're going to see a lot of the, you know, a lot of the usual suspects. Amazon.com will be back with a 60, I think, Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi. By the way, we should say, you know, spoiler alert, if you don't want to any information, maybe tune out for a few seconds. But, you know, Avocados from Mexico will be back, Doritos, Hyundai, Pepsi, Squarespace. I mean, a lot of the same companies year after year come right. back. You know, which to me says, you know, they see the value in the investment. So, but there'll be some interesting folks too. I know Mr. Trump and Mr. Bloomberg are each going to have 60-second spots on the game, so that should be interesting. You know, the game historically has been kind of an escape from that sort of stuff. You
right,
know, a lot of
right.
comedy and spectacle is sort of the name of the game when it comes to most Super Bowl commercials. But we will get some political pitches during the game. We'll see. You know, we'll see how creative those turn out to be. I'm not holding my breath really, but
Coca-Cola
is coming back, so it should be fun.
Is there a statistic on, like, you know, these are like really clever minds living in a clever world, and at big advertising companies, you know, multi-million-billion-dollar companies, and then they think they're really clever, and then is there a statistic of how many flop, what percentage flop? They like, oh, we thought it was going to be funny, we thought it was clever, and then is it like 10%?
20%? No, we don't. You know, we don't have real statistics on flops. I mean, I suppose it depends on what the objective is. You know, if you do something that no one likes, that's one measure of a flop. But if it sells product, then it's probably, you know, you'd say it was successful. So
right. there you go.
I don't know.
If
I
you
mean,
remember it.
It doesn't matter.
There you go.
One of the things that, Tim, one of the things that I don't like is they're putting the commercials online ahead of time so you can watch some of these spots. But... Yesterday, the big news in Chicago this weekend is Bill Murray was in Woodstock yesterday filming a Jeep commercial. And you would think this would have been done weeks ago since the Super Bowl is a week from today. That seems a pretty quick turnaround, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you'd be surprised. I've heard stories over the years of folks putting the finishing touches sort of hours before the game. I mean, some of these things do come together, unfortunately, at the last minute. I mean, a lot of these companies... you know, they don't buy airtime sometimes until, you know, October, November, and then they go through a couple of rounds of creative ideas and, You know, the thing about Super Bowl commercials is it's very hard to get something that's really fun and exciting because there's so many people have to approve it, and it gets sort of most creative ideas for the Super Bowl get kind of bludgeoned into submission by committee. You know, everybody, literally almost everyone on the client side has an idea of what it should look like. Mm-hmm. You know, the creatives at the ad agency are trying to get their ideas through that are maybe a little bit more risky. So, you know, there's a lot of money on the line, and it's hard to push through an unconventional creative idea when there is that much money on the line, which is why you see so much formulaic stuff. Not to say that the formulas are bad. You know, it's fun to see celebrities pop up in unexpected places, which is 50% of what's on the Super Bowl these days. But I agree with you. I find it annoying that there's, you know, so much pre-releasing of ads going on.
It drives me
and
crazy.
That was, you know... Yeah, it's annoying. I mean, you can blame Volkswagen for that, actually. They started that, which I think it was the 2011 game. And the reason for that is kind of interesting. They had, I'm sure you guys remember it, the Darth Vader commercial for Volkswagen.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first commercial that was ever really pre-released. And the reason they pre-released it is because they only bought 30 seconds of airtime in the game. And they had a 60-second cut of the commercial that they thought was way better than the 30. And so they said, oh, you know what, why don't we put that online on Wednesday, and then on Sunday people will watch our 30 and think they saw the 60. So it was sort of a planned strategy, and it worked really great for them. And so, of course, you know, marketers are a bunch of lemmings usually, so they see what's working and they sort of jump on the bandwagon.
Are you allowed to say that about them being the Cleo man? Like, you're a bunch of lemmings.
Hey, I think they appreciate the honesty. We'll see.
All right.
We're talking with the editor-in-chief of the Cleo Awards, Tim Nudd, about Super Bowl commercials. Back to Jeep for a second. It hit me while you were talking that they're spending $10 million for a 60-second commercial and they're filming a week out? That doesn't seem like a good strategy, a good planning on Jeep's part.
Yeah, no. I mean, maybe this is a Super Bowl commercial that you're referring to. I'm not sure. If it is, you know, hopefully they're going to pull out magic at the last minute. But
there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like anything else. You know, they have to go through the approvals, and sometimes the process does. You know, the shooting doesn't happen until a week before, so
right.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they're desperate. It might just mean that they, that was their production schedule. If they were shooting Sunday morning, I'd be worried for sure.
Well, they were shooting yesterday, but
that was in Chicago.
You know, we got a text from 224, and they're saying maybe this is only like 5 seconds of the commercial that they're shooting in Woodstock, and they did the other stuff in California.
They're lying.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Or maybe they just waited until the very last minute. Now, have you seen all the commercials, Tim? Have you seen everything that's going to be on Sunday, a week from today?
No, I haven't actually. I've seen a few things. You know, the marketers don't often share stuff with journalists either. You know, they if it's not going to air till the game, they generally won't show anybody. And if it's going to air as a teaser, the teasers, you know, or even the full spots, we don't have a lot of those out yet. So
okay.
A lot of those will be coming this week. I know the Budweiser commercial, their full 60-second spot broke a few days ago. I think Thursday, Friday. I think they were the first though. And then you've probably heard about this Mr. Peanut thing that happened the last couple of days.
I saw the commercial last night.
What'd he do?
Okay.
What'd Mr. Peanut do now?
Tell him, Tim.
Well, they killed off Mr. Peanut in the teaser.
Like a bullet
for their
to the
Super
head?
Bowl ad.
Kind of like a, like
well,
gone?
No, they...
It was a car accident where they sort of he and a couple buddies end up hanging from a tree on the edge of a cliff after this car accident. One of them has to fall,
right?
And Mr. Peanut is the one who graciously lets himself fall to his demise.
They fall off a cliff, and three guys are hanging from a tree branch, and the tree branch is breaking, and one of them says, "Someone has to let go to save the other two." And I can't remember the actors. Do you remember who was in the commercials?
I don't remember. I don't think these are super recognizable actors, but yeah.
Mr. Peanut let go, and he hit the ground, and they're like, I wonder if he's dead, and then it exploded. He fell on the car, and the car exploded. So Mr. Peanut is absolutely dead.
But, you know, nobody ever dies. All they have to do is just bring him back
to life. No, he'll probably come back to life, I'm sure.
Oh, of course.
So that spot's going to air that spot's going to air pregame, I believe, and then supposedly in the third quarter they're going to have his funeral or something in the as their commercial in the game.
So okay, my kids are going to cry. I'm going to cover their eyes. Watch out. Not Mr. Peanut.
We're getting pictures, text messages from Bill Murray in Woodstock yesterday. He was wearing a long black trench coat, and he was down in the square, just like in the Woodstock movie.
Oh, yeah. Is that Groundhog Day?
Yeah, Groundhog Day.
Our stunt guy did that jump off the church tower. Yeah, he did.
That was
our Rick.
That's great stuff.
He was the guy.
Tim, I look forward. Budweiser usually has some pretty good ones. They've been pretty serious the last few years, but Doritos always steps up to the plate. Doritos, yeah. I feel like.
They do.
And M&M's. Is M&M's advertising this year during the Super Bowl?
You know, M&M's is a Mars brand, and they go back and forth. So sometimes it's Skittles, sometimes it's Snickers, sometimes it's M&M's. They kind of, those brands sort of take their turn. I think this year we're going to see a Snickers ad. And it's actually the 10th anniversary of the Betty White Snickers commercial where she was playing football. That was back in 2010, and that kicked off the whole campaign that they've been running that campaign now. You know, the "You're Not You When You're Hungry," that kicked off on the 2010 Super Bowl, and this is sort of a celebration of 10 years of that, I think. And so Snickers always does really fun stuff. We don't know what that's going to be yet, but I bet that'll be one to look out for.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to take a break, and we're going to run through your favorites from years past, okay?
Sure.
All right, Tim, Tim, where can people follow you on Twitter?
I'm just at Nudd, N-U-D-D, on Twitter.
That's easy, man. That's a great handle that you have. All right.
Thank you.
Hold on the line. And Dave, are you sticking around or you got
to
hit it?
I got to go. I got to get over to the ping pong game. So
the ping pong
game. It was
game.
Great hanging out with you. Tim, nice to meet you, kind of through the air, through the ether here.
Right,
And wish everybody
Definitely,
the best.
You too.
All right.
Okay. And people can go to 100clubchicago.com. And they can donate there.
They can donate there.
Got
I'm
it.
A member of them. Great.
And, of course, Chicago Fire. You can see
Chicago,
it on NBC.
Yeah, NBC Wednesday nights. I'll be there most of the time. I don't know. Until they do a Mr. Peanut on me. Someone's got to go. Herman!
Well, you did get stabbed. When was that? Yeah, year three or something like that in the
they'll
kitchen?
Kill me. If they got to save somebody else, they'll kill me first.
All right. Dave Eigenberg, thank you for coming in.
All the best, buddy.
All right. It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Got some disturbing, very, very disturbing news that Kobe Bryant has passed away in a helicopter crash in Los Angeles. We're trying to get more information on this. As soon as we get more information, we will pass it on to you. But it has been confirmed that Kobe has passed away. Terrible, terrible news. But we'll keep you updated on that. We'll have more coming up at the top of the hour. On the phone with us is Tim Nudd. Tim, sorry to drop that information on you, but we've been getting news alerts, and I had to mention that. And it's finally been...
Yeah, that's tragic. Good Lord.
Tim is the editor-in-chief of the Clio Awards. 1 week from today is the Super Bowl. We're going to be talking Super Bowl commercials, and let me see if we're ready. Do we have? We're gonna do your top five, okay, Tim?
All right. Yep.
Curtis, do we have number five? Do we have number five ready to go?
Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Jan, this isn't about you.
It never is.
What was number five, Tim? What was that? Was that Snickers?
That was Snickers. That was the Brady Bunch spoof that they did in 2015. It was part of this whole "You're Not You When You're Hungry." You know, we talked about that a few minutes ago, where the Betty White kind of started it, and
there's
all these celebrities in this campaign. So Danny Trejo plays Marsha Brady in this one, and it's hilarious. It's got footage from the old Brady Bunch TV show, and then Steve Buscemi shows up at the end, and he's Jan, and he runs off in a huff.
Yep.
Yeah,
I do remember that.
So, Snickers always comes through with a good one.
All right, Tim Nudd, the editor in chief of the Clio Awards, on the phone with us. Your favorite number four?
It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bail a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh. And then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what dad does. So God made a farmer.
Wow, Paul Harvey. That is such a distinctive voice. I do remember that, Tim. Go ahead.
Yeah, this was from the 2013 game. So this was a Ram Trucks commercial aired during halftime of that game in 2013. And, man, what a beautiful commercial it was. I think it was 2 minutes long, and it was set to that famous speech that Paul Harvey gave to, I think, the Future Farmers of America in the late 70s. Such an evocative, you know, piece of text, and the way that he delivers that was amazing. And it was really just that, his voice, you know, talking about farmers, God made a farmer, and there are these beautiful still photographs, most of them black and white, of farmers, you know, from across the country, and kind of posing with their trucks and you know, just celebrating, you know, the agricultural history of the country. And it was just such an amazingly crafted ad. And, you know, sometimes there's so many Super Bowl commercials are loud and they're funny. And, and when you have a really quiet one like that, you know, sometimes it can really kind of take your breath away. And I don't know if you've ever been in a Super Bowl party where, you know, it's usually pretty raucous. At a party where this one, just everyone kind of got quiet and listened. And, you know, there's an opportunity for, you know, not for every brand to do that, but, you know, Ram had this really incredible sort of patriotic pitch that year, and still one of my favorites, you know, 8 years later.
And Paul Harvey, when you hear his voice, he's one of those people on the planet just commands you just stop and listen. And that's what we all do.
Absolutely.
Tim Nudd's favorite Super Bowl commercials at number three.
If you hate going to work, no one respects you. You wish you were somewhere else. You cry constantly. You daydream of punching small animals, and you sit next to this guy. It may be time. If you make loads of money, it may not be time.
It's gold.
But if you make loads of money, you hate going to work. No one respects you. You wish you were somewhere else. You cry constantly. You daydream of punching small animals, and you sit next to this guy. It's probably time.
I don't remember this one. What is it, Tim?
So this one was 11 years ago, back in 2009. This was Career Builder, which, you know, was one of the job sites. And it was really just this funny spot that played in a loop where they originally started out just kind of asking you if you have a terrible job. And each one, you know, each example of a terrible job kept repeating itself. So the spot, I think, was 60 seconds, and it kept kind of running in a loop. And it's not a super well-known spot, but I feel like the copywriting and the way it was shot and everything else, to me, it was pretty memorable. So, we got a few of these job sites on this list. We'll mention another one in a minute. But they did a pretty good job back in sort of 10, 12 years ago of doing good Super Bowl ads. You don't see them so much anymore. I don't know.
I think the internet's
kind of taken over.
Right. So, all right. Number two.
I've surpassed all my goals, my previous position, my prior job, and your competitor. My personality and me have surpassed their own goals.
Get famous at mytalkingstain.com.
I don't even remember that, but just hearing it, it makes me laugh.
It's so funny. It's 2008. It was Tide. And so it's a guy who is at a job interview, and he's trying to, you know, the interviewer is asking him questions. He's trying to respond, but he's got a stain on his shirt. And so the stain starts talking because, you know, the interviewer is, like, sort of preoccupied with the stain. And so the stain becomes sort of personified. And each time the poor kid interviewing tries to answer the question, his stain sort of speaks over him. And it's hilarious. It's just,
I do remember
it's one of the best comic spots I've seen over the years.
All right, and finally, Tim Nunn's favorite, number one.
I want to have a brown nose.
I want to be a yes man.
Yes woman.
Yes sir.
Coming sir.
Anything for a raise, sir.
When I grow up, I want to be underappreciated.
Be paid less for doing the same job.
I want to be forced into early retirement.
Tim? Number one?
Yeah, this was Monster.com. It's called When I Grow Up. It's a commercial from the 1999 Super Bowl, so we're talking 21 years ago. Just a really funny ad, 30 seconds in and out, and it just focuses on these kids who talk about, you know, when I grow up, I'm going to be, you know, forced into middle management. I'm going to get laid off. And, you know, it's just this very funny take on childhood dreams when it comes to their careers. And, you know, I think it says, what did you want to be when you grew up at the end? And it's just wonderfully written. And again, comedy, for me, kind of steals the show, and this one was one of the classics of all time.
Right. You're the editor-in-chief of the Clio Awards, which are the Academy Awards for Advertising. Is there like a top five list where you say, this is a great commercial? What do you look for?
Yeah, well, you know, each year we have a bunch of judges who judge the work. So people enter their advertising into our show, and we have folks who, you know, decide the best TV commercial every year, the best print ad, the best, you know, integrated campaign. We have lots of different categories. So we have professionals kind of judge these things. I mean, my background is editorial. So I came from one of the trade magazines. And so I've definitely got my own opinions, my own favorites.
Right.
But, you know, it's a great creative industry. There's tons of talented folks working in it. And, you know, it's hard these days to the way the business is fractured. And, you know, one thing about the Super Bowl is, you know, you just don't get enormous audiences who actually want to see your commercials anymore. So, you know, the bar is raised for creativity these days. And mm-hmm. advertisers have to be better at the ads that they make, you know, in order to break through at all. So, it's nice, you know, when the Super Bowl rolls around, you feel like you have, you know, consumers' attention. You got 100 million people watching, and
right.
It's fun to see what advertisers do to, you know, with that attention, because it's not something they get anymore. You know, back in the day when they had the big three TV networks, you had, you know, every night you could have a sizable, you know, audience, and that's just not true anymore. So it's Super Bowl is kind of a throwback in that way, and it's fun to see what these companies do with it.
We have the Grammy Awards tonight. Is that a pretty big audience? Are we going to see some different commercials tonight? And, of course, the Academy Awards coming up on February 9th, I think it is.
Yeah. Golden Globes as well. I mean, all of these big live events are definitely advertising showcases. You know, something like the Oscars and the Golden Globes, you're going to see a lot more sort of fashion and beauty products being pitched, because that's kind of, you know, what the audience is. So,
right.
Yeah, certainly the Grammys as well. Marketers that want to target folks who are super jazzed about music definitely consider the Grammys every year. And I don't know exactly what 30 seconds will go for in the Grammys, but it's definitely in the millions also, you know, low millions,
right.
I would say. So, yeah, I mean, it's these you know, enormous live audiences are very rare, so advertisers, you know, love to have that captive audience, and they'll pay for it, for sure.
The editor-in-chief of the Clio Awards, Tim Nudd. Tim, thanks for coming on. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate it.
All right. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We'll keep you updated on the passing of Kobe Bryant.